This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, including finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property, and getting it rental ready. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa for private meetings. Contact Barry Cohen via WhatsApp on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency, your Israeli property, is in good hands.
The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Good morning, Rolene. How are you?
Good morning. Good, thanks, and you. What a week it has been.
No kidding. Rolene, just before we get into the Israel Report, there is an alert on the traffic, and there is a, in Houghton Drive, northbound, there's a crash near Kaza Gowri Road, and that's causing queuing traffic. Try and avoid that area. That area and William Nicol, stay away. Try and find alternate routes or try and work from home this morning. All right, Rolene, let's get straight into the report. So Israel and Sudan, they are going to complete normalization by the end of the year. Who ever thought, right? Can you give us the updates?
Okay, so about 2 years ago when we signed the historic Abraham Accords with Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates and Morocco, the Sudanese also said that they were going to normalize ties with Israel. And then everything went quiet on the Sudanese front. So, there was a lot of conjecture. Did they mean it? What happened? Was there a breakdown in communication? The reality is that there was a coup d'etat in Sudan, a lot of political instability, and now that the process is almost complete between handing over from a military government to a civilian government, the Sudanese are ready to relook at normalization. So yesterday, our foreign minister, Eli Cohen, leading a very, very high-level delegation to Sudan, spoke to the government, and they formally announced that normalization was back on track and that Sudan intends to sign the Abraham Accords by the end of the year. Okay. So I'm just going to quote you from a statement that I've got from the Minister of Foreign Affairs. He says, today's visit to Sudan lays the foundations for a historic peace agreement with a strategic Arab and Muslim country. The peace agreement between Israel and Sudan will promote regional stability and contribute to the national security of the state of Israel. So it's hugely significant, because if we go back to about 1948, Israel essentially was in a state of war with Sudan, because Sudan had sent soldiers to help Arab troops fight against the fledgling Israeli army in the War of Independence. And we also can't forget those three infamous no's of Khartoum being the capital of Sudan. No recognition, no negotiation, no peace. And today we have this extraordinary moment saying yes to recognition, yes to negotiations, and yes to peace.
Chief, what incredible. Absolutely incredible. And do we not live in a world that needs more peace?
Amen to that, I tell you.
Chad opening an embassy in Tel Aviv, which we're going to talk about in a little while. But who do you think is going to be next to sign the Abraham Accords?
Well, this is always the interesting one. You know, if we've got our normalization bingo cards in front of me, yes, people, I do play bingo. You can judge. Some said, could it be Oman? But sadly, not to be, or at least not for the moment, because they've tightened their anti-Israel laws just a couple of weeks ago. Will it be the Saudi Arabians? A lot of noise on that front, because that essentially is the big whale that we're hoping to get into the circle of peace. But the Saudis, at least to the media, are being very, very stubborn, saying that they won't talk about any peace with Israel or any formal peace with Israel until the Palestinians have a state. Meanwhile, the not so covert to-ings and fro-ings between Israelis and Saudis is a lot more overt these days. And Netanyahu, speaking to Jake Tapp on CNN the other night, said, you know, forget about peace with the Palestinians for the moment. Stop getting so hung up on that. We're taking the other approach, peace with Arab countries, that will hopefully lead to peace with the Palestinians. But we do have murmurings that Mauritania, another African state, could possibly be the next to normalize, as well as Indonesia. Now, if Indonesia normalized ties, that is massively strategic, because that is a Muslim country this time in Asia, on the Asian continent.
So interesting. Well, listen, you know, when Israel, after the results of the last election in Israel, I did wonder if it would have any impact on the Abraham Accords. What's your thought?
Oh, well, this is a very, very good question. I think our Abrahamic partners are very loath to get too involved in the domestic issues that happen in Israel. They look at the benefits for the region. You know, we've got this massive threat posed not just to Israel, but to the Emirates, to Bahrain and many others by Iran. And they really understand the value of peace with Israel. However, they're not shy to make themselves heard when it comes to the issues of the Palestinians. But let's be very, very frank. These are also countries that are not the greatest democracies. So they are not going to be the likely ones to weigh in on issues like the big issue of the moment, which is the proposed overhauling of the Supreme Court. They're very much looking at it from a business perspective. And as long as it doesn't harm Palestinians, they are happy to carry on with the status quo.
All right, let's move on. Rolene, Israel's Attorney General has come out against judicial reforms and voices of opposition in Israel and around the world against reforms are getting louder. Let's just take us back. In case we have no idea what this is about, let's talk about the judicial reforms and the judiciary and what the status is currently.
This is probably the biggest issue that Israelis are talking about at the moment. And these are the proposed judicial reforms or reforms to our Supreme Court. Now, I want to be very, very clear, as I've said numerous times, this is not about election results, because the concerns are not just from the left or the center, but they also come from the center-right as well. This is about proposals by the coalition government without the broad-based consensus that would see several changes to the Supreme Court. The two biggest changes that are of concern is that the coalition government, or essentially the prime minister, could appoint judges. And the second, which is probably the biggest one for concern, is the majority given to 61 members of Knesset to overrule any laws or any decisions made by the Supreme Court. Now, this is very, very critical that Israel's judiciary and our legislative bodies remain independent of each other. We don't have a constitution, as you and I have discussed. We also don't have two bodies of the legislature like the United Kingdom does with the House of Commons and the House of Lords, or the United States does. We don't have a constitution like South Africa does, which enshrines civil rights and the rights of minorities and the rights of individuals, and prevents the government from having too much control or overriding any of those constitutional laws. The court in South Africa is the highest court in the land, and that is respected. If Israel does go ahead with these proposed overhauls, and they were not made as specifically clear in the run-up to the elections, there was a political platform that says, you know, we plan to make changes to the Supreme Court. Now that we know exactly what those changes are, people are very, very concerned. And we've heard from so many different sectors of society, the military, the legal fraternity, the academic fraternity, economists, journalists, media people, civil society, ordinary Israelis, students in schools. The list is growing. We are also hearing from think tanks around the world, our allies around the world, like the United States, expats around the world who intend to start protesting. But now our Attorney General Gali Baharav Miara has issued her official opinion saying that acceptance of the proposed arrangement will lead to a regime structure in which the executive and legislative authorities have broad and practically unlimited authority, which has no built-in response to possible fear of misuse of legislation or basic laws for the purpose of circumventing judicial review or harming the core characteristics of the state as a Jewish and democratic state. Hmm.
So what are the chances that they are going to change anything about the judiciary in Israel?
Well, at the moment, the situation is as follows. The president of the Supreme Court, Esther Chayut, has appealed to Netanyahu to freeze any proposed overhaul. She says, you know, while we have a plan put forward by President Herzog, who is very, very limited in what he can do, he wants to get all parties concerned, the Supreme Court, the legal fraternity, the opposition parties who have been excluded from this, as well as the government. He wants to get them together to talk, to present alternative plans. Netanyahu told Jake Tapper the other night he's open to alternate agreements. However, when Esther Chayut made this request to him, he said no, he's planning on going ahead. So a lot of criticism for the Prime Minister for saying one thing and doing another. But I also want to be clear that the issue is not that there shouldn't be reforms. Everybody's happy to talk about proposed reforms and are in agreement that reforms do need to happen. What the issue is here is that it's specific reforms that doesn't include the rest of the coalition, the legal fraternity, and other bodies who stand a chance to be harmed, like minority communities.
Hmm. Fascinating. All right, Rolien, just before we get to a good news story, possibly the lowest of the week is it's been a week of violence in Israel. Let's talk about the post-terror attacks, the rockets. Give us a summary of everything that's happened in terms of security in Israel.
Let's go back to last Friday night, probably the worst terror attack in Jerusalem in a number of years, and a very, very violent weekend, because the next day we had a shooting of a father and son. The son's condition reported to have deteriorated yesterday by a 13-year-old Palestinian. I still, even with all my experience in this field, still cannot wrap my head around a 13-year-old filled with hatred off to kill Jews. We then had the shooting at Al-Mukh Junction. Thank goodness the gun jammed, and there was nothing more after that. Two infiltrations this week, one at Kedumim, one at Psagot, in the early hours of yesterday morning. Many of you are familiar with the Psagot wines. And, of course, the rocket that was fired from Gaza, intercepted by the Iron Dome, fired towards Sderot. One woman moderately injured as she ran for shelter. I have recalled Shane Michael hearing for the first time the rocket alerts going off live on air. But a very, very violent week for Israel. Of course, our IDF responding with striking targets in the Gaza Strip.
Interesting. All right. And just very, very quickly, Rolien, good news. Chad has opened an embassy in Israel.
Yes. And I know you love to end on a good news story. So I'm very, very happy to report that Chad, another Muslim majority country, hugely important from the African continent, Africa is opening up to Israel. Do you hear that, Durko? Just in case you missed that, mayor of Johannesburg, opening their embassy at long last in Ramat Gan yesterday with the Prime Minister, Bibi Netanyahu, along with the President of Chad, speaking about the deepening ties, the deepening friendship, and that their focus is going to be on peace building, security cooperation, and general cooperation. Israel, no matter what our domestic issues are, is a country that is so perfectly poised to help so many African countries deal with the issues that confront them. And yeah, we're pretty thrilled that another African state, Muslim majority, has opened their embassy in Israel.
Amazing. Raleen, all that's left is just to wish you a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll catch you next week.
Shabbat Shalom, guys. Have a great and please God a peaceful weekend.
And to you too. Thank you so much. That's Raleen Marks with the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, including finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property, and getting it rental ready. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa for private meetings. Contact Barry Cohen via WhatsApp on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency, your Israeli property, is in good hands.